This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Cheung, and you're listening to Style File, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. On the show this week, I'm joined by two lovely sisters from Singapore, Brianna and Bertilla Wong of The Closet Lover.
So you definitely need to have the passion to do that. So the motivation, I feel that is definitely the passion for the job, passion for fashion, passion to actually make our brand known, make our brand international, to keep the branding going.
After that, Florence Song, style lead at Zalora and BFM's own Auth New Ting, take on a 90s trend that's making a comeback, the strappy sandals.
I think the thing with sandals is you need to wear it in. If it's brand new and you go jungle trekking in those, I think it will really hurt your leg.
Obviously, you're not going to wear the jungle trekking.
In which world?
But before we get to that, let's speak to our star makers for this week, Brianna and Bertilla Wong. Early noughties, blog shops were a thing as the continent embraced the culture of online shopping. The Closet Lover started out as one such operation, initially importing clothes to sell locally. They eventually grew their business to the point where they were designing their own clothes and selling it from their own website. The Closet Lover, or TCL for short, started out as a way to earn a little spending money for school for the Wong sisters, Brianna and Bertilla. As popularity picked up, however, Brianna and Bertilla went along with it and continued to build the brand to fit the growing demand. Today, they joined us on air to discuss how they transitioned from an online blog shop into a fully grown label with retail outlets across Singapore and Malaysia.
Okay, we are actually like a fast fashion company. So most of our designs, they are like inspired by we see everyday like trends and fashion trends and stuff. So we kind of like gain inspiration from all this. Yeah, so we don't really draw. I mean, like, we draw some, but we don't draw all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and most of the time, we just, like, see something that we like, and then we do a small sketch, and then we just send it to our factory.
So what are both of your responsibilities?
Basically, we handle almost everything.
So for Bree, she does most of the CS part, and then I do the marketing part. But of course, like, I mean, whenever we have like marketing ideas and stuff, we still discuss together. Mm-hmm. And then she handles like the retail team right now. Mm-hmm. And then I do like all the other like...
business development and
like setting up new stores and then like contacting
expansion
like
plans
leases. And yeah, and things like that.
So what's it like working as sisters?
I'm not sure whether I should share this, but we fought a lot as kids. Like, we were never on good terms. Like, I hated her so much, and she probably hated me. But after we started this, I think we got to understand each other better. And, you know, it's that kind of, like, do or die. Whether I like it or not, I have to stick with her. So our relationship actually got better.
Mm-hmm. I think it helps that Fabrice is more strong-headed. For me, I'm more...
Okay lah, ching chai.
So, like, whenever we fight or we have disputes, we don't go, like, head-on with each other. Uh-huh. So she will, like, say her thing, and then I will just take a step back, and then chill, relax first, and then go back to her.
But has it ever, you know, affected your work?
No. We are quite professional in that sense.
I believe you both are sisters.
Yeah.
Now, as many other growing blog shops, there came a point where you transitioned into a full label. Mm-hmm. So when and why did this happen for you?
Okay, so at the start when we did like import of goods, we were unable to control the quality as well as like the design because we were not able to come up with our own designs. Most of the designs were like, we go to the supplier and then we see, okay, this one is nice, we'll take it. This is nice, we'll take it.
Yeah.
So transitioning to like a full label enabled us to actually control the quality, the fabric, the cut. Like, for example, we wanted to do XS to XL, or we can do maybe just S to L. And then for each item, we can actually decide whether we want it to be more loose fitting. Do we want it to do V-cut? Do you want to do U-neck? Yeah, so we actually have more control over the designs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the reason why we decided to go into like a full label was because at some point the market was very saturated.
Yeah.
There were a lot of block shops, like new shops every now and then. Mm-hmm. So in order to stand out, this was one of the things that needed to be done despite like the huge risk that we had to take.
I see. I mean, was the transition going from sourcing to other places to designing your own clothing difficult?
Yes, because when you do like a full label, the quantity is a lot higher, and with higher quantity comes greater financial risk.
Yeah.
So this was a risk that we had to take. But I think that it was the direction that we wanted to go, and mm-hmm. we just decided to just go for it.
Now, you both are from Singapore, and you have opened 4 outlets in Singapore, as well as 2 outlets in Malaysia. Why did you decide to expand to Malaysia?
In terms of purchases, Malaysia was actually the second highest country. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had quite a lot of Malaysia customers, and we decided that we wanted to expand internationally, and so we chose Malaysia as our first international country.
Does your business, in terms of like your sales, fluctuate then?
There are good and bad times, but mm-hmm. We are a fast fashion company, so we actually do have quite a wide variety of designs and mm-hmm. different cuts to suit to what we think our customers want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, Brie and I, we both have quite different styles. So I'm more like the girly, feminine, but for her, she's more minimalist and mm-hmm. things like that. So for our stores, our designs, we actually have a good range. Mm-hmm. So we have a range from like the feminine, sweet floral to like solids, straight cuts and minimalist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where do you source your fabrics?
Our items are all manufactured in China. So mm-hmm. for the fabric-wise, they're also sourced in China itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So all the fabrics sourced there, and in terms of design and the factory, are all based in China as well?
Yes, correct.
Right. So how long does it take for stocks to come in?
From the start of the manufacturing, when we submit the design to the sampling, mm-hmm. to actual stocks, it takes about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then when the stocks arrive in Singapore, we actually take about 2 months before it's finally launched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all in all, the whole process takes about 5 months, 5 to 6 months.
So now you mentioned earlier on, you both have different designs, different styles. As we all know, each person has their own signature look. So you mentioned that Brie is more of a minimalist, you know, and you're more to like sweet, girly kind of dresses. So in terms of like selling, coming out with designs for the closet lover,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you all come to a middle point whereby you both agree?
I think our experience over the years have helped us to understand what customers want. So, and we also do have quite a strong following ourselves. Like, my followers will be more of my style and her followers will be her style.
Uh-huh.
So our mix actually sort of like make things a little bit more interesting.
Right.
And we kind of know what our customers like. For example, like we know that they are into maybe like skater cuts mm-hmm. or like, you know, they don't like dresses to be too long. Or like we know that like, oh, this particular style actually sells well, or like this style is a no-no. So we sort of like do, of course we have a business, so of course we have to cater to our customers' tastes.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of know like, okay, we're going to do designs that sell well
mm-hmm.
and as well as maybe some that, you know, we know that it's a little bit more unique and maybe it's not so mainstream, but we will still do it anyway because mm-hmm. we want to have like a good range.
You recently collaborated with Singaporean blogger Dre Chong, right?
Yes.
For a capsule collection, and most designs have sold out. Mm-hmm. Now, what was the experience having an influential blogger involved in your label?
We already knew Drea for quite a while, and we knew that we always wanted to have like a capsule collection with her. So it was actually quite a fun process. I mean, like for Drea, this was probably quite rare chance for her to actually, like not rare, but like it wasn't common for her to actually embark on like capsule collections with brands.
First time, right?
It wasn't her first time. I think it was like her second or third time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but we really wanted her to be part of the whole design process, which was why we called it a capsule collection, so that she could actually decide on like the fabric that she wanted and like the cut or like the designs. So it was really a very fulfilling collaboration.
Why do you choose Drea to collaborate with? What kind of styles do you think she's suitable? Do you think she suits Closet Lover?
Okay, the Closet Lover is our strength actually lies in prints. Our customer loves floral prints, whereas Drea is more of the street style, mm-hmm. the classic looking girl. So we thought that it would also be a good chance for us to, you know, let our customers know that you don't really have to wear florals all the time. So despite Drea's collection not having any floral prints, it sold out entirely. So that was a very, very like a strong encouragement to prove to our customers and to let our customers know that like styles is ever changing. Like, you don't really have to stick to one certain style.
So is this the first time you guys collaborated with a influential blogger?
Yes.
In terms of like being part of the whole design process, this mm-hmm. is the first time that we actually did it with an influential blogger. Yeah.
I see. So the entire design and collection was all done by Drea?
Yes, correct.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts on industry competitors in the market? I mean, do you consider them as your competitor in the first place?
Not really. We just like do our own things and, you know, just hope that like our customers will continue to support us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't really like feel like a particular person, a particular brand is like our direct competitor.
Yeah.
But despite the other brands, you know, are selling the same thing as you guys, how do you set yourself apart from them?
I think for us, we know that we always have to constantly change. Like, industry 10 years ago and the industry now is so different.
Yeah.
So we always have to constantly evolve, come up with like good marketing campaigns, come up with like, I mean, like,
yeah,
in order to have people remember us, like, for example, we come up with like the collaboration with Drea. Mm-hmm. So people will actually remember us or like talk about us. Mm-hmm. So this is one thing that we feel that we stand out. Like, we don't just keep doing the same things over and over. We have new things. Like,
we also go for photo shoots overseas yearly.
Oh, so that, what kind of photo shoots overseas yearly?
So, for example, last year we went to Los Angeles, mm-hmm, where we had a few lookbook collections shot there. And then we have also been to like Taiwan, New York, and Montego. Yeah,
wow.
Nearby Montego. Yeah. So this is something that not a lot of local labels will do because of the cost and, of course, logistics-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel that in order to stand out, this is something different that we want to do. And it has been sort of like a routine for us to do it every year.
Do you think that photos on your website and your social media plays a big part as well?
Yes, we take a huge pride in our photos because we believe that we have to have good quality photos to make our branding stand out. I mean, there are so many shops out there. The one thing that customers see is firstly is the photo. So you really have to stand out in terms of like the photos and like how you actually display your mm-hmm. feed or like your branding, your website. So with good quality photos, when people shop with us, they actually probably have more trust with you because they know that you don't just anyhow take photos and just post it on your website.
It's not the ordinary like blog shop kind of style.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, what was the most challenging aspect as an e-commerce in the ever-growing fashion industry?
Most challenging.
Wow, everything is challenging.
I think the most challenging thing at this point is our customers, because consumers nowadays, they are not just as simple as consumers say 5 years ago, where you know you just have to make sure that your website is easily accessible. They're talking about the whole entire experience, so it's like the before sale, during the sale, and after sale kind of thing, which is why Bird and I, we actually involve ourselves quite heavily in the brand, in the sense that like sometimes like we will have styling workshops to meet customers so that customers can relate to us and not just like the brand. Like they know the founders behind the Closet Lover, so it's more like a personal relationship.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's like some of the international brands, the reason why they have to exit from Singapore is also because they don't have this like personal connection.
Yeah.
Like when I go down to the stores, I actually recognize some of the customers and then I'll talk to them and then they will ask me like, oh, how are you? Or like, how is Brie? Is she feeling okay? You know, that kind of thing. So this is a connection that I think the international brands will never have because the customers just don't know the founders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier, today you have 4 outlets in Singapore and 2 in Malaysia, right? Now, and your products sell through premium retail spaces. So why did you decide on expansion from e-commerce to physical stores?
This was always a route that we wanted to go. I mean, there was some point in time where we felt that the online market was too saturated. And before we first entered the retail scene, there were not a lot of shops that actually had a retail presence. We were one of the first few to actually have a retail presence. We felt that it was needed because...
You mean in Singapore?
Yes, in Singapore. In terms of like local online shops, there were not many who had like physical retail space.
But why do you think so?
Because the rental was high, firstly. I mean, the startup cost is high in terms of renovation and like staffing and everything. There were a lot of difficulties in that. But we knew that it was a necessary step to take because our customers would be able to try on the clothes. They always feedback to us that they wanted a space to try clothes, to make sure that the sizing fits and to feel the fabric. And yeah, because our price point is slightly higher lah, because we do have better workmanship and better quality fabrics as well. So we needed to sort of justify that as well. So when customers go down, they can actually feel for themselves and like see like the sewing, you know, like for example, the zips, they are covered at the sides or that kind of thing.
What is the key motivation in this cooperation?
I think in order to run a business successfully, firstly, you definitely need to have passion for the job. If you have no passion for the job, you're just not going to be able to keep up with like the trends. And like for us, every day we are constantly surfing, like seeing how new things are, like how different styles of photoshoots have been carried out. And then we will think about like, okay, how can we improve our photoshoot process, or like how can we bring something new to our customers? Yeah, so in order to have that, we actually have to have the passion for it. And yeah, so you definitely need to have the passion to do that. So the motivation, I feel that is definitely the passion for the job, passion for fashion, passion to actually make our brand known, make our brand international, to keep the branding going. Yeah.
For me, I think the passion is to really love what you are doing, because it's not just for me or like for Bird, it's for anybody. Like if you have a day job, it is important that you like what you are doing in order to do your best, and that would be your motivation, I feel.
What about the future of the Closet Lover? I mean, you've had 4 stores in Singapore, 2 stores in Malaysia. Do you plan to open more stores perhaps, you know, outside of Singapore and Malaysia? Southeast Asia perhaps?
Yes.
Yes, we are actually expanding to Southeast Asia like we mentioned. So there will be another store that will be popping up in another country which we can't
actually
reveal.
Can, la.
Can we?
Can la, can la.
Can?
Can la, can la. So we will actually be opening a store in Cambodia.
Oh.
So that is one of our plans. And then we are also looking, so right now our Malaysia are counters in like departmental store. So we are actually looking to open like a standalone store. Mm-hmm. Means a store that is really us.
In Malaysia?
Yes, in Malaysia.
Yeah. Okay.
But we are looking for spaces la. So that one is not confirmed, but that is part of our plans.
So if anybody, you know, mall retailers, anybody want to rent out to her?
Yeah, yeah.
So why Cambodia?
I think the people that approached us. Mm. And Cambodia is like
it's a developing country. But in terms of like fashion and stuff, they are quite similar to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was Brianna and Britella Wong, the sisters behind The Closet Lover. Stay tuned because coming up next is Florence Song, styled at Zalora, and Othniel Ting, who bare their feet for this week's trend, strappy 90s sandals. Here's Eleanor Fruit Berger with Rule of Action, played at Tory Burger Spring Summer 2018 in Milan. This is Starfile, and I'm Madeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is Adeline Chung on Starfile. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now Florence Song, styled at Zalora, as well as BFM's own Othniel Ting, strap on their review goggles and set their sight on strappy 90s sandals. Now, Florence, give us a quick breakdown on strappy 90s sandals.
So this 90s-inspired style features barely their crossover straps, you know, from the single touring detail or an unexpected strap around the ankle. It ranges from super thin barely there straps to even statement straps across the whole foot. And even some come with laces. Mm-hmm. So this kind of trend actually, it's not surprising that it's back recently since, you know, all the other trends that it pairs well with has a 90s influence to them as well, such as slinky slip dresses or vintage-esque skirt suits.
But I think that, you know, you could find strappy 90s sandals anytime. You know, I wouldn't say like there's a specific trend season for it, because wherever you go, even H&M and Zara, you always see strappy sandals, right?
Yep.
I personally can't wear strappy sandals because of my bunions. I mean, it's horrible. I love strappy sandals. I used to own a lot, but not now, unfortunately. It's pretty sad, actually.
I think the thing with sandals is you need to wear it in. If mm-hmm. it's brand new and you go jungle trekking in those, I think it will really hurt your leg.
Obviously, you're not going to wear the jungle trekking.
In which world?
What are the best runways you've seen so far?
Some of the best runways include Celine with barely their thin straps. There's particular pair of red heels,
mm-hmm.
and then Saint Laurent had some with laces, and then Artico had some rainbow coloured ones.
Oh, I like the rainbow coloured ones.
I really like
I saw.
The rainbow coloured ones. And actually, Zara has sort of a similar looking shoe that's on sale right now,
and it's a cheaper version.
It's a cheaper version that looks pretty similar, almost like 80% similar to the Artico one.
I saw the Isabel Marant's Abiqua leather and suede sandals, as well as H&M suede sandals. So, like I mentioned earlier, H&M suede sandals is very affordable, but the thing is, it's suede. Mm-hmm. So to me, a little bit difficult to take care of suede.
Yeah.
So do you have any tips and tricks to take care of suede?
Suede, I think it's one of those kind of materials that after you wear it, you do have to like wipe it down or give it a wash. You have to try to avoid getting it wet. So don't walk in like puddles, don't bring it out when it's raining. Just keep it dry and clean.
Or you could use waterproof spray on the suede.
Oh yeah, yep. I forgot about that.
I don't know about runways, but but I think sometimes for fashion, for men to like really take on this new fashion, right, we actually look at other rappers, especially, you know, in hip hop. So I think for a trend to really take off, you need to see a rapper wear it often enough for it to catch on with other people.
Yeah, it is true, actually.
Right? And in the case of sandals, sandals is quite interesting because you wouldn't imagine a rapper wear sandals, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's quite, you know, like, yeah, gangster skate. But then
more feminine type.
Yeah, you wouldn't imagine them wearing sandals. But then recently, the man who seems to be a bit of an underrated style icon, Tyler, the Creator, wore strappy sandals. So he put his signature Converse sneaker aside to rock some strappy sandals. I think that's quite the statement.
Well, it's pretty cool that we have sandals for male and female as well. So do you think we should invest in strappy sandals?
Yes, because personally, I'm a huge fan of the trend. But I'd say if you want to invest in strappy sandals, go for a black or white pair, or, you know, a neutral nude pair that could be the foundation for all your outfits. Sure, there's like the red ones, the orange ones and stuff mm-hmm. that could make a statement. And of course, it looks really good in pictures and on your Instagrams these days, but you want to really invest in a pair that would last the seasons. Or you can go with one with a lower heel or a block heel if, like you mentioned, you find it hard to wear it because of your bunions, but also because they're mostly more appropriate for, you know, the workday or as an everyday shoe.
So how would you style it?
Oh, the thing is, strappy sandals these days go with almost everything, from, you know, denim jeans to the slinky slip dresses that Kate Moss would be wearing way back in the 90s to skirt suits, or even feminine floral midi-length dresses, linen and boho dresses as well.
On men, I've seen it worn with slacks, Hawaiian shirts. So it's a bit of a formal at the top, but then sandals at the bottom.
Was found a song of Zalora and Anya Ting with their take on how to incorporate strappy sandals into your wardrobe. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can also catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. But before that, here's Fleetwood Mac with Dreams, one of my favourite songs, played at Tory Burch's Spring Summer 2018 in Milan. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.